Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. There's a verse of song that, or a verse of in the Bible that I've been thinking about. Oh, it comes in my mind just almost every day, I suppose, in this present world that we live in. It seems to be so fitted to it. And it's in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. So I want to start there. You pray for me. Won't read a lot of this, but it starts out with a question. The question is, doth not wisdom cry? And of course, the question was with the given answer. The answer is supposed to be, of course. And I know that you can expound this scripture, and there's quite a thought in the idea of the cry being the gospel and Christ's message to the world. But I want to use this just the way it is in this scripture, in the idea that God made a world with rules and laws of exactness, and what God did, you can count on it. You can time when the sun's going to rise. Does not wisdom cry? We can know, I've been on this planet for going on 61 years, so I followed a lot of spring, summer, fall, and winters. And does not wisdom tell us? If you've lived very long, doesn't wisdom tell you that winter's coming? We may be here now, but doesn't wisdom tell us that summer's going to come, and what that means for this area? It's probably drier, hotter. I mean, doesn't the preparation of that, doesn't it speak for itself? Doesn't all of God's creation have a wisdom, or in other words, it's can be counted on? There's something of knowledge and understanding. God doesn't try to hide these things from us. Doth not wisdom cry? Isn't there an obvious that children left to their own? Doesn't wisdom cry to the things that we've seen and learned? And I mean, from the time I was young, that my mama didn't put up with it. I go to the store, Walmart, or sometimes, and I see these little tantrums being thrown in. You ever see those? We didn't do that to mom. I mean, I don't remember at what point I realized that, but by the time I was big enough to have memory, I'd already learned that wasn't something that you didn't do it. And I remember as a small child growing up, seeing the children that done that, and already wisdom spoke. Already, you know, I remember thinking, their mama don't do them like my mama does. I already know that there's a reason. We can blame children a lot of times, but a lot of times it's not children. But wisdom is crying. And I think about this scripture so much in the world we live in, because there are so many people and so many, from the political sides of things and from the natural sides and all of the agendas and all of those things, it comes to my mind so often, does not wisdom cry? I mean, is it not so easy to see what is going to happen with this? We can know that there's going to be something happen with this, because God didn't try to hide it. It's actually being shouted. If we're listening. If we're listening, we can hear that. I mean, does not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice? Isn't it fairly obvious that, I mean, up my area, I burn wood to keep warm, and I'm very astute to the idea that I'm going to have so much of that, and I don't want to be out there in 2 foot of snow trying to get it. So I'm very aware that wisdom cries to me during the summer months and during the times, You better understand that this isn't always going to be like this. And wisdom cries, and I'll say wisdom also cries in our spiritual life, in our and being able to forecast. I mean, I know God can come and give revelation, but God's already give a lot of revelation. God give a revelation through His Word, through the understanding we have of the things that went before us, of our own lives. I can tell you very, very positively, if you do a certain regimen of things, you'll be better off spiritually. And if you don't do them, you won't be. Wisdom shouts it. Wisdom's crying that that's true. I seen a little a clip recently, and it was the clip of a Senate hearing, and the senator was talking to someone. It was about the border, and I'm not getting political at all. I just want to prove a point with this. Something that was said. So the senator asked the person that was in before the Senate and said, "Well, about the border being secure." "Oh, Senator, thank you for the question." And said, "We have put this much money allocated to this, and we have done this and done this." And he interrupts and says, "But I asked you about the border being secure." Well, Senator, thank you for that question. And started with this and this and this. And the senator listened and said, "No, I asked you about this." And said, "Well, we've put money," and the senator stopped and said, "But it's not working." And said, "Well, we've made new programs. We've put so much money, and we've allocated." And he said, "It's not working." And well, "I know, Senator, but you have to realize what we've done. We've did this and did this and did this. I mean, we're really looking at this and doing this." And he said, "It's not working." You know, Jesus makes something works. It's really, really important that this works. Now, I don't know, wasn't trying to prove anything about the border or having minded. My mind was is that he was saying, it's not working. And it's supposed to work. It needs to work. It has to work. It's got to work. You can't have it and not work. The gospel works. And wisdom cries. This. It cries that it's got to make a difference. It can't just be religious. It can't just be a form. It's got to work. And what is the goals of salvation? It's been mentioned in this meeting. What do we have? What's the expectation? What is it that salvation is really supposed to do? Some believe that salvation and what the Lord come to do is really doesn't alter or change you in this life much. It is the whole design of the plan was to forgive you for eternity, and you will go to eternity that way. We don't believe that. The Bible is full of the idea of what the gospel does. It came to change your old miserable sinful life and dysfunctional life into a life that is functional before the Lord. And it will, that old time religion, make you love one another. It's got to work. It's got to work when you start feeling the hatred in your heart. When you got to say, it don't work. Now that don't work. You can spend the money, you can do the programs, you can have the bands, you can get the people in, you can do all of those kind of things, but when the whole thing is said and done, it's got to work. It's got to make the marriages different. It's got to make a new husband, a new wife. It's got to change and you become a new neighbor. You become a new congregational member. You don't just go through the religious thing and shout and leap and do all those kind of things. And at the end, it don't work. There's a story, whether it's true or not, it was told to be true, but sometimes things are embellished a little bit, so I don't really know whether the accuracy of it. But there's a story that used to be up home of a guy that had an old single-shot shotgun and called it an old poke-stalk shotgun. And you had to break the gun down, put the shell in, and then when you shot it, it was just a single shot, so you had to break it back down and shelf clicked out. Some of them you had to take it out, but you put a new one in there, and it was kind of a long time between shots. Well, there was an old guy had one, and he'd rabbit hunt, and a rabbit would kick up, and he'd shoot at it, and he'd miss it. And by the time that he got it broke down in another shell, of course, the rabbit's gone, and he concluded that he needed something else. So he spent quite a bit of money and bought him a good pump shotgun. And unless you put the block in them, I think it was held five, one in the chamber and four in the magazine and one in the chamber. So he had five shots. So he went rabbit hunting with his buddies. Rabbit kicks up and he goes to blasting away. And when he got through, the rabbit hit in the brush and was gone. And the guy said to him, "You spent a lot of money." He said, "It didn't help you a bit." And he looked at him and said, "What do you mean it didn't help me?" Said, "With the other gun, I'd only shot once. I shot five times with this." My point isn't just to laugh about. The point is that he messed up his priority. He didn't have what his goal really was. The goal was to get the rabbit, not to shoot all your shells at it. He was tickled to death that he got to shoot five times. We do that a lot. Our whole nation does it. The world does it. And we'll do it if we're not careful. We'll misunderstand what the goal of it is. It is true that we are forgiven. It is true that we don't deserve it. Salvation is, all those things are true, but what is also true is why we get to go to heaven. God changes us from a bad creature, from the old creature, the old sinful nature, the old sinful creature, and makes one that's in his image, the image of his son. That's what he's trying to do. The goal is, folks, this has got to work. We can't go through the end of it and say, "What a wondrous and glorious camp meeting we had. I love to sing." Listen, folks, this is all encouraging and all good to the man. Great, good things. And all that was that. Do you know that that's like the man with the shotgun? If it comes down to the end of it, and my life ain't changed, if I got places and there's no altering, then it doesn't work. I need something that works. I don't like things that don't work. I don't like going and buying a tool and it don't work. I don't like going and buying something that's supposed to do something and it doesn't do it. I have a garden. I love the garden, and I have a garden at home, and I've been doing it for several years in this place, and I'm having trouble with deer coming in, and they really like certain things. And they'll come in and eat all of it up. And be honest with you, that doesn't work. I'm out there and spend a long time tilling and plowing and planting and stringing and putting the beans in and doing all that, and they get up to a certain point. I didn't plant them to feed the deer. That doesn't work. I got to do something. I got to change something. So I found this stuff. First of all, I had an old pair of coveralls, so I got my girls, and we got out and got some hay and stuff, butted in there, and I put that thing, made me a scarecrow, and thought, you know, there's a lot of oil and grease and everything also on these things. It's bound to have a lot of sin in it, and I went out and drove a stake into where I wanted the deer not to be and put that big scarecrow there and said, that'll work, or that ought to keep them away. And I noticed that I went out, and there was fresh tracks around the edges of the garden, but you know, first couple of days, nothing come in the end, and before long, the deer didn't care that was there at all. They just come in and did what they did, and I said, that didn't work. I put all the one, that didn't work. Well, I found this stuff, it's called deer repellent. That's what it is, repel this stuff away. And had big claims on the side of it and all that. Well, I smelled kind of like mothballs. I thought, surely, these deer, this will burn them deer's nose. This would be good. So I had the scarecrow all there. I went out and I filled that scarecrow's pockets full of that stuff, and I put it in its boots, and I put it everywhere around it and all that stuff, and said, this is it. Yeah, I got it now. I noticed the first couple of days the tracks was out around the garden, the fresh tracks, and before long the tracks was right up. They had to touch that as they went by it. They eat everything around it, all the way around it. And you know what I said? That don't work. You know, advertise it, big advertisements, you can put all the money into it. That don't work. That's no good. You got to have something that works. Lord, help us to have something that works. And the Lord said, wisdom cries about this. Wisdom is crying about what works and what doesn't work. The whole universe is tuned to God, and everything and His work. And I can look at it and say some of the policies and some of the things our world does and some of the things that's not going to work. A Band-Aid on this isn't going to work. Just turning over a new leaf isn't going to work. The New Year's, you've been successful on New Year's resolutions. Well, yeah, February worked till you. No, it's got to have more than that. It's going to have to work. We was home one time. There was a couple there, and the guy, he was a nurse, a man nurse, and anyway, they was a friends of ours. Was at the house, and one of our children, I don't even remember which one it was now, they come and they had a really, really red eye, and it almost looked like a style in the eye. You know what I mean? It was really red, and it was really bothering them, and so this couple was there, and anyway, so we did what we do. The child was complaining and hurting, and so we said, well, let's go to prayer. And so we got down and had prayer. They got down with us, but we got down and had prayer. I know they were skeptical. They'd already talked about their skepticism. But, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's worked. I don't know what to say. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what to say too much about it. But with me and my family, it's always worked. So we had prayer. And the child went and got comforted and went off. And a little while later, the child come by. And the wife of the couple looked and said, seen her lean over to her husband and said, the eye's better. I never thought about it. I believed it'd be better. We prayed it'd be better. It was better. It went by. And I said, they was astounded. And I said, well, I should be more astounded. But the Lord's done it so many times. I mean, I'm used to it. I felt like the Lord's helped us, and that's what it was. And folks, it's got to work. We can testify to the salvation of God. We witness our witness. We witness that God does something for us, and it alters us and changes us, and it makes us something that we wasn't before, we couldn't be, and we make a testimony of it, and that's got to work, or the testimony's not worth a thing. When we come and say that we have something that makes us knitted together and love one another, and it's a testimony of Christ that we love one to another. We have love one to another. And we die for one another. We'll sacrifice for one another. We'll give to one another. And if you don't, it don't work. It's got to work. And it does work. It works in our lives. And I thank God that it does work in there. But if it doesn't work, you can't sugarcoat this thing and make it work. Recently, and I don't know what to think about it, I believe God, and I know God loves everybody. He loves them more than me. And when I can be cynical or what's that, because I don't know how other people look, all these kind of things, it always reminds me that this is God's business. God loves everybody and going to deal with everybody as much as He can, where He can. So there was this real movement. Maybe you all heard of some of these kind of things. This real movement. I'll be honest with you. I'm not overly impressed by demonstrative activity. I've seen people out shout us all over the place, out jump, out jerk, out run, out do. In a religious function, I've seen all that. And I'm not a least bit impressed by that kind of behavior. I've seen sports arenas with near 100,000 people roar and jump and shout and all that, and I'm not impressed by the so-called electricity of the place. I'm not impressed. What I want to be impressed by is the guy that hated his neighbor. Yes, amen. That went into the place and he come out a humble man. Yes, that loved his neighbor. I want to see the reality of what Christ said that He come to do. That's what I really want to see. I believe in all the rest of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to throw cold water on that or try to cool anything off or nothing like that. If you go and have an experience of the Lord, jump and shout. We'll shout with you. But if you go from there out the door and act unbecoming, you haven't impressed me. I want to know that this thing works to what he designed it to work for. And it's an altering of the heart and spirit. And it changes us. And it makes us what? In the very image of Christ. And those that have followed the Lord do that. And there was old Stephen. You remember old Stephen? I'm glad for this in the scriptures. He went and he preached hard there. And he preached hard to them there in Acts. And he laid it down to them. It was some pretty tough words. He was laying it on them pretty good. And they got their teeth gritting together and grinding. And they stoned Stephen. There it was. There was a man there named Saul that ended up being Paul. He held their coats. He was right there with them. And they were stoning him to death. And here was that one that had come and he preached hard and he told them all this stuff. And there's a real fine line and you can lose your testimony, Saul, of what God's doing. He was full of the Holy Ghost, though. And there at that time, he beheld Christ standing on the right hand of God. And he asked them not to lay this to their charge. He had something beyond. I'm going to tell you, it worked in his life. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'll stand up and preach, but I'll be stoned to death and still love my stoners. That's where it's at. That's the testimony of Christ. There's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of people that can talk and do those kind of things. But the witness of Christ in his life. Lord, help us. We need that in our lives. Well, I have a scripture I want to look at. Over in Haggai, the first chapter, the fourth verse says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Well, that's a good constant, I think. I think we should always consider our ways as we go through life. And so the Lord says here, consider your ways. Is it working? Brother, I go to church every Sunday. Good. I sing. Good. I go to camp meetings. Good. Is it working? It's supposed to work. No, it's got to work. It does work. If there's anything in the not working, it's us and the problem. Because it does work. The gospel does work. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and you bring in little. He's counseling. Consider this, because you're sowing, but you're not bringing in. Realize something here. Realize that I designed a world, and wisdom doth cry. Wisdom doth cry. And it's not that complicated to know it. It didn't say that wisdom's hiding. Wisdom's whispering. Wisdom's crying. And it's not only crying, it's not hidden. It's in the open. It's in the way of concourse. It's in the streets. It's at the gates. It's in the obvious place for those that understand it to be there. I mean, there it is. It's obvious to me. I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm not satisfied. I'm done all this, and I'm still grumbly. I've done all this, and there's got to be, what is it here in this place? It's supposed to work. Saints get up and say the joyful and love is them and all this stuff. I don't feel it. What is it? What is it in this? Well, you're sowing, you're doing these things. Lord, what lacketh I? This is supposed to work. There's supposed to be grace, and I don't have it. Lord, help us. So, you've sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Wouldn't it be better? Wisdom's crying to you. Wouldn't you be better to build the house of the Lord? Wouldn't you be better? Doesn't it seem obvious in this, of all that you try and labor to do? Anybody ever really take note of what's considered the celebrities of our time, of our lifetime? Did it work for him, really? What would you say if you had to conclude the most of them's life? I'm saying, like Elvis Presley, if you ever knew who that, maybe some of you don't know, I'd say everybody pretty much does know who he was. He was world-renowned person. He was somebody who was extremely, extremely famous. I don't know that this was true, but it was a story that was not, it wasn't firsthand, but it was only about secondhand or so. But there was a story of Elvis that he, you know, Elvis was kind of raised a religious person. He had a mind, he sung gospel songs, and he had a mind for that, but he didn't follow the Lord. He didn't really do that, but he had it in his mind. And it was said that there was a, I believe he had a concert in London, if I'm not mistaken. And afterwards, of course, they had the parties and all of that, the stuff that went on the parties, and said that Elvis had come into there and everybody was making merry and all that. And Elvis comes in and he was disturbed. He was distraught. And he asked anybody, does anybody in here know any scriptures, any verses? And he was distraught. He had all the money he wanted. He had Graceland. He had a beautiful woman, had those kind of things, and he done all of those things, and yet something never working for him. It didn't work for him. The man was miserable. And you know, a lot of these cases, what they have to do, it's well noted, they get into this concert thing, they have to perform, they need something, their physical body isn't capable of it, and so they take an upper of some kind, they get a speed or an upper, and they take the upper, and they go through the concert, and then the concert's over, but the speed isn't over. And now they're pumped and cranked, and their body's running, their heart rate's high, and all that kind of stuff, and they need to sleep. Life demands it, and so they have to take a downer to be able to come down off of the high, but then tomorrow night's another, they're sluggish at concert time. And now it's concert time, and they can't perform like they should, so they have to take an upper to get them up for this. And they run through this systems of ups and downs by drugs, and they do all these things, and it's destroying them all the time. For what? Does not wisdom cry? Is wisdom not crying to you that doesn't work? That isn't going to bring anything that humans really want or desire. We look at it and say, oh, I don't want to be a celebrity, or people do. I don't want to be a celebrity, but I'm saying people do, and look at the fame and all of that. Don't you know the heartache and the trouble that's involved in that kind of stuff? Wisdom cries, that don't work. That's not going to work for this. I'm going to tell you what they're doing in our country and world today with all of this stuff, that I don't doubt a bit that the devil's got them distorted in their mind to think there's some kind of utopia that's going to follow this stuff. I'm telling you, it's not utopia that follows this. This is getting as close to hell as it can get. When it finalizes and comes to fruit, wisdom is crying that this is the wrong thing. It's going to disturb people's minds. It's going to destroy people's minds. This didn't start in the 2000s. This stuff was planted many years ago. We saw it being planted when they started saying the unisex stuff and everybody's the same and all that, and the fighting for the women's rights and then the things that they started doing. That was all the leading into this system that they got now. But wisdom cried to us back then, didn't it? It cried, don't do that. Don't go that way. You're going to go into a place that you'll never be able to pull back from. Children don't know who they are or what they're supposed to be. There's no direction. We hear of these mass shootings all the time. Why? Obviously, why? But they don't have no goals. There's no purpose. There's no life after this. The human has got to a place. They don't have a family structure. They don't feel love in their life. They don't have the things that's valuable in their lives. There's nothing worth anything or valuable about anything. Wisdom cries that. Lord, help us. We may not to be that place, but I still want to tell you, we're still challenged in this world that we have now. And wisdom's still crying. Wisdom's still crying to say that this will follow this. Without the Lord, we can't serve the Lord. And the things that we think we can do or accomplish, or the place that we can stay in, unless the Lord builds a house, they that build it in vain. How are you ever going to accomplish what you think you need to? How am I going to help my children in all this? How am I going to bring it to my grandchildren? You're not going to unless you get a hold of the Lord. The Lord cries, this is the winter time of your life is coming, but it's summer now, but the winter's coming. You're going to have to face this, that there's a winter time in our own life. Listen, I'm 60 years old, and I thank God for the health that I have and the mobility and what the Lord's done for me, but don't you think that handwriting on the wall, they had a lot of handwriting on the wall about where my life was going. Buried dad 2 years ago, mom 3 years ago. That was kind of the markers for me. We're coming right along. It's almost like when dad went, I said, well, dad, I'm coming. All right, I see it coming down the road. Winter times change, things are changing. And that, and wisdom cries that. Wisdom cries that your mind's not as, you know, one thing I noticed, and y'all pray for me, one thing I noticed, I never realized, I mean, lately, even in ministering, I am losing thoughts midstream. Any of your other ministers getting to the place where you can lose something, right? You get ready to say it, and it's all gone. And it flies away, too. I mean, it'll come back. It's gone. I might think about it tonight, and it come back and completely lose it. My mind didn't used to run like that. I know the Lord can bring it back, but I'm going to tell you, there's also a realization that wisdom's crying about our lives and where we're at this time in this. You don't want to stick our fingers in our ears and just go on. Wisdom's crying, trying to say something to us. Trying to say, you can look at the past. We look at the writers of the songs in our book. Some of the author of some of what I thought was incredible writings of spiritual things that lost what they had. Lost it. I don't consider myself as smart, as sharp, or any of those things, as capable as these men were. And they lost it. Kind of makes me shudder too. I guess if those men did, I can lose it too. Solomon got blessed with being the wisest man in history other than Christ to walk the earth. Wise man, understood the nature of things, understood deep things. You know, that didn't protect him against error. But Solomon, the wisest man, wisdom's crying, and you with all wisdom won't listen. Let's listen to the cry of wisdom. It's got to make a difference. If it doesn't make a difference, if it doesn't change, as the senator said, but it ain't working. It ain't working. It needs to be working. So when we look at the things and we can be impressed by the movements and all of those kind of things, ask yourself at the bottom of it is, what's the goal and is this meeting it? Is this bringing righteousness and holiness into my life? Is this making me a better husband? Does it make me a better father? Does it make me what I'm supposed to be? Because that's what it's designed to do. For the grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying what? Ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly. Where? In the next world? No, right here in this present world, the grace of God has appeared, and it's supposed to work. It's supposed to alter those things. When I went, and Lord help us, I'm kind of different than I used to be, but because I'm older, and there can be some places. But I used to, when I was younger and all, I would look at situations where someone would say, "Well, they've been saved for 50 years, and still, where is it that the Lord takes care of that for them? They've been 50 years with this." And when I was younger, I kind of was a little harder. Now, as I got a little bit older, it's like, Lord, help me. Been in this all this time, and I don't have any more than this. If this is supposed to work, there's a grace of God that can work in our lives and can help us in those kind of places. And I thank God for it and know that it's true. I know that it's true. Had a guy attack me one time, had a gun up to my head, and knuckles white, squeezing on the trigger, and his teeth gritting, and he's going to blow my head off. And you know, God gave me grace that I didn't even know was available like that. I had a grace for that situation. Now later, I struggled, I'll be honest with you, I struggled to in the memories of it and all of that, and I had to work through all those kind of things. Do you know today I got victory over that and don't want anything but good for him? That came by the grace. That came because this works, folks. You can have a forgiving heart. You don't have to be asked to forgive. That's not necessary. I'm going to tell you why it's not necessary. The canker of unforgiveness is in you. That's why you need to forgive. Let it go. Let it go. Pray that the Lord would solve that thing. This is what God brought us. Something that works in our life. That can help us in our life. When we start talking about dysfunctional, we're all dysfunctional without the Lord. One of my family members said something about our family being so dysfunctional. And it's like, yeah, it was kind of like about every family I know. Dysfunctional with one another. Has their issues and all those kind of things. The Lord's testimony of his church is not dysfunction. It's grace. It's the fruits of the Spirit in our lives that the Lord can help us with. Well, there's a few other scriptures I want to mention. They was way of the Lord works, and sometimes it doesn't seem like why could it or how could it. There was a guy one time, a captain. He got leprosy. He was a noble man. He was a renowned man. He was highly thought of, and he got leprosy. I think the scripture says that he had a little Israelite maid working for him that he had got from one of their conquests, and the maid said, "Oh, that if my master would be in Israel." And he made the contacts and all. You remember he goes to Elisha and great fanfare. He takes all the stuff to go, and he gets there and he can't heal leprosy. Folks, he can't heal leprosy. He's in a bind. He's in a bind. He's in trouble. This is it. This is it. What do you do? You look to the divine. There's no natural here. He looks to something divine. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. Maybe he had pointed his face toward other things and remedies. I don't know, but this is what, there's an answer over here. There's a prophet in Israel that can heal my master there. So he ends up making the journey, and he takes all the fanfare, and he gets to the place of Elisha, and Elisha don't even come out of the house. You think you're important? God has a way. Told him, go give him a message. Go tell him to dip 7 times in Jordan and he'll be clean. That's it. He got angry. Naaman? Is that his name? Naaman? What you're doing ain't working. What you're doing ain't working. You got leprosy. It's going to get worse. Naaman, you know how it goes. It ain't working. I'm angry about it. Go dip 7 times in Jordan. Well, we got better rivers than Damascus. I mean, this? Oh, dirty Jordan? I'm going to Jordan? I mean, it's not working for you. Drop it.
That's right.
Brother Bruner used to say, he was quite a bold, those that knew Brother Bruner. Yes. He told people all the time, if what you got ain't working, get rid of it. Get saved. What you got religion? If it ain't working, get rid of it. Get you something that works. Naaman ended up humbling himself. Master, if it had said some great thing, would you not have done it? And he humbles himself. And he went and done something that worked. I don't know why it works. The Lord said it worked. Go dip yourself in Jordan. Give yourself to what the Lord said, and this will work for you. Don't go planting your own fields and doing your own things. Is this working? You're bringing in little. You're losing your wages. Every time I get a little extra change, something breaks down. Something tears up. I can't get out of this kind of thing. It seems like nothing works, right? There's something that works. The Lord works. Lord, help us to get what really works. Hyped up religion doesn't work, folks. I mean, if you're impressed with it, it's okay. But I'm saying, it doesn't do what's supposed to do. I think a part of worship service, we should be lively. I think that's all right. When lively's demanded. But that ain't all worship is. There's times that quietness and serenity is the order. Sometimes the songs will dictate it. Sometimes the Lord will dictate it. For us to dictate it and say, every time we come in here, we got to jump over the chairs. We're taking our own way, because that isn't the way of the Lord. The Lord leads that way, the way He wants us to do it. And the Lord can lead us in the right way, too. We shouldn't be ashamed of jumping and shouting when jumping and shouting. You can't tell me that the guy that was lame, that jumped and shouted and leaped, that we use that for an example, well, that's what it is. You tell me he leaped and jumped all his life, he had been one tired guy. He didn't. He had the normal times as ever. He was reacting to something the Lord done for him. And I want to tell you, the Lord comes and speaks very seriously and solemnly to us sometimes, and we need to be quiet and listen sometimes. There's something that works if we let it work. God will make it to work. I remember being in a service one time and I was so impressed with it because the spirit of solemnity was over the service and the participant of the service wasn't shouting and jumping. They was in the deepest thoughts and you could see it. It was a deep worship of what God was doing. Let's let God do it His way, because it works. Thank God it works. You know, the Lord has a way. I'm going through. But the Lord has a way. The Lord owns the armies of the earth. The storms are His. The diseases are His. He can use the hornets if He wants to. He can use the fleas. If He wants to, He can use the things in life that will get us to where we're supposed to be, and it works. It's got to work. So when I look at the things of the Lord, I think there were so many examples in the scriptures that you could use of those that failed and said to them, where did they get to the point to accept something that didn't work? There's a scripture that says, why do you spend your money, I'm going to put my way, but why do you spend your money on something that's not bread and something that doesn't satisfy? Why are you taking your effort and energy and putting to something that really doesn't work? At the bottom line of what God came to do was that it worked. Sometimes in quietness, sometimes in a shout, sometimes in different things. But at the end of it, we come away with a testimony for our soul, like was mentioned in this meeting, of the blind man. A blind man that had come to the Lord and the Lord healed him. And they wanted to get Jesus so bad through that blind man. And they wanted that blind man so bad to testify against him. But the blind man, can you imagine being blind from birth? And then you see. Now I want to ask you, how could the devil and all of his angels, and how could every false prophet in the world, and how could anybody take that testimony from him? I was blind. You figure the rest of it out. But I was blind, and now I see, and I want to tell you, when this works, when it works, and you have the testimony, I used to be envious. I had all this covetous. I had all this filthiness. I had all this stuff. I was blind, and now I see. And now how the devil going to take that from I got a testimony of what I was and what I am? Say all you will that there's no such thing as Jesus' resurrection or Jesus never lived or there's no God or whatever you want to say. But you can't take my testimony from me because it worked. Folks, I want to tell you, if you don't have something that works, that has worked in your life, it's really, really hard to have the faith that you need to have. You got to have something that worked. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.